Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, where this community of Kensington Unitarians meets each week. Ours is a gathered community created by all who come through our doors. The world can be a tough and troubling place at times, as well as beautiful and delightful. And we need places in which we can reflect, recharge our batteries, find comfort and strength and new possibilities. This church is such a place. We do not offer easy answers or certainties, except perhaps that life offers us greater possibilities when we share the journey with others. And so I welcome you this morning, and I invite you to take this moment now to settle yourselves, to know yourself, to be truly here now, to align yourself with that which you hold to be of worth. I light our simple chalice flame, connecting us with liberal communities here in Britain and throughout our world. This flame tells us that the warmth of human connection makes a difference, and it reminds us that all are welcome here. It may seem a bit frivolous to go from our candles to the story of a drop of water, but I think by the end of this service it'll all tie up in some way or another. And I know that some of you know the story of a drop of water whose name just happened to be Higgins. And Higgins was no ordinary drop of water. He was a drop of water who had a dream. And he lived in a place in a valley where it had not rained in a very long time. The grass was turning brown, flowers were wilting, trees starting to droop. But he had a dream, did Higgins, that one day that valley would be a beautiful place again. But what could he do? Only a drop of water, after all. But he decided that he'd travel, he'd tell others about his dream. And of course, the other drops of water listened politely, but no one believed that his dream could come true. "Come on, Higgins," said one, "get your head out of the clouds." I think there is a meteorological problem with that bit of this story. Get your head out of the clouds. You can't spend your whole life dreaming. You're just a bucket. You're just a drop of water after dew. But he was determined to make his dream come true. So he thought, he thought, he thought. And one day, rather than kicking the bucket, he found a rusty old bucket and he got an idea. If enough of us drops of water's got together in this rusty old bucket that did not have a hole in it, let's just get all the details absolutely correct, there'd be enough water to sprinkle on a few flowers and they would become beautiful again. So Higgins told everybody his great idea. Higgins, you're just a dreamer. But you know, he decided he had to do something, so he just jumped in the bucket all on his own. And he sat there for a long time, really lonely, but then some of the other drops of water looked again at that brown grass and thought, we're going to have to do something too. And so one of them took the leap into the bucket and joined Higgins. And then another and another. And you know, before you knew it, 30, 40, 50, hundreds of drops of water were jumping into that bucket. And once that bucket was filled, another bucket miraculously appeared, and that too got filled. Suddenly there was a lot of water in the buckets. And then a powerful breeze came and it blew over all the buckets, and a mighty stream flowed down that valley, and it brought greenness to the grass and life once more to the trees. And do you know, if there are enough buckets of water with the wind behind them, it's said that justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. And that's the story of Higgins, the drop of water with a dream. And it moves us into a time of prayer and reflection. A friend of this congregation, Amy Zucker Morgenstern, wrote a beautiful prayer for a drop in a bucket, and I'm going to start with her words. Blessed are the droplets, for they shall fill the bucket to overflowing. Blessed are they who know there is a bucket, for they shall be filled with hope. Blessed are they who can see beyond their lifetimes, for they shall walk in faith that their work will not be in vain. Blessed are we when we know we only appear so small because what we are creating is so big. Blessed are we who are part of one another. Blessed are we when we give new life and light to others, for we will live more richly ourselves. So let's now take these thoughts of a drop of water and what it might do into our time of prayer and reflection, as we call on the divine spirit of life and love to be with us now, blessing all we say and do together here this day. Let's forgive ourselves and others for the times we have failed in helping to fill buckets of hope and possibility. Let's forgive ourselves for our lack of self-love and our lack of compassion for others. Let's remember our ability to make a difference in our world. And in a brief shared moment of stillness now, I invite you to send your loving thoughts of care and concern to places and people in our world in need. And may we find ways to translate our loving thoughts into actions this day and all days. Amen.
This is a selection from Guy Browning called How to Go with the Flow. Humans are made of up to 70% water. And, like any other body of water, we feel a deep urge to make our way to the seaside. That's why holidays by the sea are so popular. Because, at the molecular level, it's like going home. In the river of life, some people think they're in charge and move forward through a complex series of canals and locks. These are the control freaks in their narrow boats. Others relax in their canoes, occasionally encountering a bit of white water, but generally just drifting happily along. Some people have paddles and try to go where they want to go, but others don't have a paddle and occasionally find themselves in unsuitable creeks. Before you decide to go with the flow, it's always best to check where the flow has come from. In the countryside, you shouldn't drink from a stream if there's a chance that there's a dead sheep slightly further up. In much the same way, it's always worth checking exactly where new jobs and new partners spring from. To really go with the flow, it helps if you don't care where you're going. Only the very rich or very poor can pull this off. The rich because they create their own flow. The poor because they don't have a boat. The flow most people are going with is called the rat race. This is a very powerful current of work and family that carries most people down the storm drain of their lives and then washes them out onto the beach of old age before they've admired the view. A few people choose to stream against the tide. There are three possible consequences of doing this. You become a very powerful swimmer, but don't get anywhere. You escape the tide and find new pools of happiness, or you drown. Whether or not you go with it, the flow always continues, because the passage of life is ever onward. This is worth knowing, because sometimes stepping out of the flow for a while allows it to bring you things from farther upstream. Meditation is an attempt mentally to step outside the flow of life and find stillness. A glass of wine, on the other hand, creates a pleasurable internal flow that makes the less pleasant external flow easier to manage.
Okay, I hope you're all in a really deeply meditative, altered state now, so that you won't notice some of the flaws and contradictions in this little address that I'm going to give now. We heard the story of Higgins the Drop of Water earlier on, who found his great purpose in life, inspiring others to join him and making a difference in our world. He made a difference for the better, we need to add, as of course it's always possible to make a difference for the worse. And I guess most of us would rather avoid that, if possible. The law of unintended consequences can be explored another day here. So in this address, I'm going to offer two contradictory viewpoints, and in true Unitarian fashion, I'm going to leave us all dangling awkwardly between the two of them, free as usual to make up our own minds. Now, some of the ideas that I'm exploring are in the yellow handout that hopefully you were given along with today's order of service. And if you're listening to this service at a future date on a podcast, then send us an email and we'll get the handout to you. It includes various quotations, and I'm hoping that some of these will have you responding, "Ah, yes, I agree with that." And some of you will be growling in irritation at some of these. If you have a red pen in your hand, then you could start crossing some of them out right now or improving them. The quotations on the handout express somewhat contradictory and paradoxical ideas. The first idea is that life is empty and meaningless. And the second is that life is made much more fulfilling by having a sense of purpose. At the end of a whole week of reading and thinking on this topic, I think that both of these ideas are potentially true. I think that life is empty and meaningless. I think it is made more fulfilling by having a sense of purpose. And I'd even go a step further and say that by finding ways to hold these contradictory viewpoints as true at the same time, I think we are likely to feel more peaceful, more contented perhaps, certainly more real. I think I'll give it that. Because if anyone tells us that there's only one way to live life, it's probably a good idea, isn't it, to have our doubtful bells ringing, reminding us to hold on a minute, isn't there another way to look at this? But there is something very appealing, for me anyway, about that idea of going with the flow. It sounds rather hip and fun, I think. And John Lennon's oft quoted, "Life is what happens as we're busy making other plans," is a useful reminder to those of us who carry endless to-do lists around with us that we might not be quite as much in charge of this show as we'd like to imagine. The longer I live, the more I think that chance plays a very significant part in our lives. Things just happen, and we humans then attach meaning to what happens. We attribute sense to the senseless, a feeling that we were, and I mean, I don't know if any of these resonate with you. I've had most of these at one time or another. That feeling, have you had it, of that you were just meant to meet a certain person that day, or that you were meant to choose a particular course of study, or discover a special place, or find a house, etc., etc., etc.? Fill in the dots for yourselves, the times when you've attributed meaning to something that possibly happened by chance. So let me introduce you to someone now who holds a very different point of view. Rick Warren, evangelical Christian church leader. He was the one who led prayers at Barack Obama's inauguration in 2009. Author of best-selling books, A Purpose-Driven Life and A Purpose-Driven Church. I only wish he could be with us today, because if he was, I suspect we'd have some conversion experiences. He is a great speaker. He speaks from the heart, and he is surprisingly convincing, even to an old woolly liberal like me. Rick Warren comes from a particular perspective, the perspective that there is a God who has created you individually and who has a plan for your life. Everything that happens to you, according to Rick Warren, is part of God's plan. If you find yourself in a tough place, Warren brings comfort by saying that there are things for you to learn in this tough place. And from that learning, you will be better able to minister to others, to help them in their life struggles. Now, this is not my theology, though I know it resonates with some of you. But I really do appreciate Rick Warren's heart-centered approach to life and his key message that if we live for ourselves alone, our lives will be bleaker than they need to be. His headings, and you can find all of these online, there's lots of free materials for you to work through. His headings are connect, grow, serve, share, worship. And these can all be translated into secular ideas for living life well that I think we'd all agree with. Connect with other people. View life as a process of learning and growing. Use our own unique gifts to better the world. Think of others and act to improve their lives. And be grateful for life. Appreciate the world we live in. Rick Warren's work has some similarities for me with the work of another best-selling author, Stephen Covey, author of the famous Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's Covey we have to thank for the title of today's service, First Things First. That is step three in his system. And you can entertain yourselves now by imagining what the other six steps might be. You'll never guess number seven. It really is, takes you by surprise. Or you could indeed ponder upon the eighth step, which he revealed in a later book. And again, all of you can find this all for free online. We also can thank Covey for the useful quadrant diagram you'll find on the yellow handout. This definitely is worth studying and keeping with you at all times, because he suggests that all human activity belongs in one of these four boxes, depending on whether it's important or not, or urgent or not. It's a simple, very revealing system that points out for most of us that we spend most of our lives responding to crises like a burst water pipe. So that's urgent. And I have to get this right. I may yet have this. No, that's urgent and important, isn't it? The more I look at this, the more I get it wrong. Okay, a burst water pipe is clearly urgent and important that we have to deal with. Or we're dealing with interruptions like emails, phone calls, or those hideous irrelevant thoughts that keep going round and round in our heads. Or we're lying around on the sofa worrying about all the things we ought to be doing, when really we'd all be better getting very clear what's important in our lives and making sure we give time to the top right-hand box, which is what's important but not urgent. Now, I have a lot of respect for Covey's work, because what he's suggesting we all get clear on is what really matters to us. Another way of saying that is, what are our values? Once we're clear what our values are, the deep underlying principles that guide our existence, well, then we're in a much better place from which to assess our priorities. We can then start to put first things first. And getting clear about our values isn't a one-off exercise. It's the work of a lifetime. And in a lifetime, our values are likely, of course, to change and develop. amongst all the other things we could be doing, I think it's worth stepping back from time to time, and this would be in the important, not urgent box. It's worth stepping back from life and checking, okay, what is it that's motivating me now? What is driving me now? What really, really matters? This is the age-long search for humanity. As creatures who can choose, once our basic needs for safety and nourishment are met, we have a great gift and an equally great responsibility. It both matters profoundly how we choose to spend our days, and it doesn't matter in the slightest. So let's be guided by those whose messages appeal to us. Let's take some time to reflect on how we spend our hours and our days. Let's support one another in putting first things first and living fully this empty and meaningless and utterly intriguing thing called life. Amen. Forest Church writes, "Want what you have, do what you can, be who you are." And so may each of us find our own particular way in life this day, accepting what is, allowing our yearnings for a better world to guide our actions, knowing that small changes may help justice to roll down like waters and peace like an ever-flowing stream. Amen. Go well, and blessed be.